This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Greg Kim. A man died after being thrown out of a boat near Tuntutuliak. The accident occurred Tuesday on the Dugiahuk River, a tributary of the Kuskokwim River. According to a state trooper dispatch, two men were in the boat, Gabriel Andrew, age 58, and Paul Mute, age 57. Both were from Kongiganak and were heading home when their boat hit an object in the water, throwing them into the river. The passenger Gabriel Andrew swam to the riverbank. He did not see any sign of Paul Mute, who'd been driving the boat. A Tuntutuliak tribal police officer organized a search for the missing man. Within hours, the searchers recovered his body. The remains have been sent to Anchorage for autopsy. Paul Mute is the third person to die on the Kuskokwim River tributary this month. In early July, Bethel resident David Berlin and his 5-year-old granddaughter Daniel Berlin Walker died after two boats collided on the Johnson River. Next, in alcohol. On Tuesday, Bethel City Council voted to limit curbside alcohol sales at Philly's Pizza. Customers will no longer be able to purchase alcohol curbside without an accompanying meal, and the price of the food would have to be at least 50% of the price of the alcohol in the order, the same rules the state already requires for delivery. Several weeks ago, Philly's had already taken some steps to limit sales, not selling alcohol curbside after midnight and limiting customers to one case of beer or 6 bottles of wine. Philly's owner Todd Perez said he had been hoping for more dialogue with council members before Tuesday's resolution.
At the last meeting, I never objected to you putting restrictions on curbside. I said I'd like to work with you guys to try to come up with a solution that could be, you know, a win-win for everybody.
Perez also suggested wine and beer were not serious problems in Bethel compared to hard alcohol. That was something Councilmember Hugh Dimet couldn't go along with.
It really is problematic. It's a real issue. I just had to station myself in front of a chronic inebriate with a broken wine bottle, and I had to station myself in front of him waiting for the PD to come. I haven't seen a bootleg bottle of wine in this town in 30 years, but I see him now.
The city will send its resolution on limited curbside alcohol sales to the State Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office, which has the authority to enforce a new rule. In the meantime, Perez gave his word that he would begin self-imposing the new rule starting August 4th. Next, in the coronavirus pandemic, the first person in Bethel died of COVID-19 this weekend. Dr. Ellen Hodges with the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation says the case was travel-related, and there's no indication that anyone else in the region was infected.
Our contact tracing indicates that risk to the community was very low.
The keys to keeping Bethel and surrounding villages safe include testing. With the growing number of cases in Anchorage, there's a statewide shortage of testing reagents, which has caused things to back up at the state lab. Results that used to take 5 days are now taking 10 days. Hodges says the moment YKHC gets a positive result, they're on the phone to contact people.
No matter what time of day or night, we get the call. Even if we get the call in the middle of the night, I start making calls to try to track that person down. We feel like it's that important that that person be informed about their results right away.
People who work for YKHC not only have to be tested, but they also have to quarantine when returning from out of the region. Hodges says the length of that quarantine varies depending on where they traveled.
So if they've traveled recently to a hotspot in the lower 48, we require that they self-isolate and quarantine for 14 days if they travel within the state. But outside of the region, we require a 5-day quarantine along with testing before they return to work.
Hodges says YKHC providers who have traveled to lower 48 hotspots cannot see patients till after the 14-day quarantine is over. Employees may come into work after testing negative, but they are also asked to stay at home when they're not working until after that 14-day quarantine period. They're also asked to take their temperatures twice a day for the full 14 days. Those who work with patients directly also have a second test.
For our direct patient care staff, we have a 2-test strategy where they test upon arrival, generally speaking at the airport, and then they have a second rapid test the day before or the day they return to work.
For its patients, YKHC has instituted an online system to find out the results from COVID testing. They can use their MyYK Health accounts on the YKHC website to find out the results even before the Health Corporation staff has called them with the information. And finally, around 130 people made the move to pioneer the new community of Mokhtovik last October. That still leaves most of the village's residents in Newtok wondering when a new house will be built for them. The coronavirus pandemic has affected the construction schedule, but even before COVID-19, fewer houses were scheduled for construction this year. Construction season in Mokhtovik began late this year due to the coronavirus pandemic. Relocation coordinator Romy Cadiente says his team was ready to start work earlier this summer, but businesses they were relying on for lumber had shut down.
our suppliers in Anchorage and Seattle, there was nobody at the factories filling orders.
Cadiente says a COVID-19 delay cost months, precious time during Alaska's short building season. But then came a silver lining in the form of CARES Act funding. With that, the village council saw an opportunity to get two birds with one stone. A bulk of Nutok's CARES funding will be spent on building new homes in Moksovik, which Cadiente says will initially be designated as what they call isolation homes, so that any individuals that contract COVID-19 could quarantine in those buildings to prevent the virus from spreading. While Council President George Carl agrees it's important to contain the virus, he says what matters most to him is bringing everyone over to Moksovik.
We just can't leave anybody out, even if we're having a hard time finding funding for the housing, you know. Something comes up from somewhere and we're going to put it to the house.
Cadiente says the CARES Act funding will pay for 5 additional homes.
So for this year alone, we have a total of about 9 homes going in.
Before the CARES money arrived, Nutok planned to build only 4 homes this summer, a stark decline in production from last year when 13 homes, several miles of gravel road, and a landfill, among other projects, were built. Cadiente called this year a transition year. What turbocharged the Moksovik relocation effort last summer was an injection of $25 million from the Denali Commission. After spending the money and completing the projects, the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, which was managing the work, left.
They did a heck of a job. ANTHC was about completed with the project. So we had to get this new team together, and we had to look for a lot more grants.
Also, Nutok doesn't have the help of U.S. Armed Forces this summer. They provided approximately $1.6 million in labor last year. Cadiente says the council didn't invite the military's innovative readiness training program this year because of uncertainty with funding and with the pandemic.
We just told them, as much as we appreciate you and the work that you've done for us, responsibly, we cannot do it this year.
Council President Carl says the village will invite the military back next year, which is when Cadiente says a Moksovik project will bounce back. Next summer, he expects to complete 11 to 20 new homes. Plus, they're hoping they can build the homes cheaper, much cheaper. Patrick LeMay of LeMay Engineering and Construction, the new project manager in Moksovik, has designed new homes that he claims he can build for a third of the cost of the ones that were built last year. He says he can construct 2-bedroom houses for $150,000 and 4 bedrooms for just $10,000 more. LeMay says the first homes in Moksovik were built to meet the highest energy efficiency, but he says their upfront cost is much greater than the total savings in fuel costs over the home's lifetime.
Is that really a good trade-off? How many more homes could have been built had they not gone to a 6-star versus I'm shooting for a 5-star plus, which is pretty efficient?
LeMay isn't certain that his designs will yield a 5-star plus energy efficiency rating, or if he'll come within the budget. It's a bet he's making that will play out this fall when the first 4 homes he's designing will be completed.
Yes, it's a risk, since it's my design and it's my word that I have to prove.
Meanwhile, the 30-plus children living in Moksovik are still making do without a school. But Cadiente says that's up to the state's funding priorities. Council President Carl says the village is waiting to put running water into houses until more are built. A water main will be set up by next year, but Cadiente says they still need money to connect the main to people's homes. This fall, a few more families will move over to Moksovik, but that will still leave at least half the village residents in Nutok. Village council members say they're working as fast as they can to reunite everyone. Reporting for KYUK in Moksovik, I'm Greg Kim. Thanks for listening to KYUK News. Please send any news tips to news@kyuk.org, and stay tuned for News Yukdun coming up.